We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time to talk politics. It's Hardline on News Radio 930 WBEN.
And welcome to another edition of Hardline. Kevin Hardwick here. 1 hour from now, we'll be talking about New York 27 with one of the candidates in that race. The Democratic candidate, Nate McMurray, will be live in studio. He'll be talking to me, also talking to Don Postles of Channel 4, who is going to be with me also in the studio. Eventually, we'll get maybe around to taking some phone calls on that, too. We'll see how that goes. By the way, Don Postles is going to be here at 10:30. Going to chat with him for about half an hour about a variety of subjects. We open up the show, however, with pre-law advisor from Canisius College, Bob Klump, who's been a guest on this show before. He joins us to talk about the Supreme Court nomination, confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh. Bob, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Kevin. Good morning.
Yeah, what do we want to say about this? Certainly it changes every day. It's something a lot of people are tiptoeing about. The optics for Republicans and everyone, for that matter, are not all that great. Do you think that this Thursday we'll see a repeat of October 1991 when we had the Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill show?
Well, I wouldn't be at all surprised. I mean, I had thought that the debasement of the confirmation process had gone far enough during the hearings held 2 weeks ago with the antics on the Judiciary Committee, Spartacus and the like, and the synchronized outbursts, the members of the public who were observing the proceedings. But now we have the spectacle of some individuals in the Senate, including, by the way, graduates of some of the best law schools in the country, who seem to be discarding in their haste to kill or at least delay the nomination the most basic aspects of due process in our system. You know, all of this has arisen in connection with the discussion of what's likely to happen on Thursday at this hearing if it goes forward. You know, we're discarding the presumption of innocence, the demands that have been made by the accuser's attorneys, that Kavanaugh have to testify first, that the committee not be allowed to engage counsel to do the questioning. I mean, all of these, and the principle on the part of some members of the committee that certain accusations are simply entitled to a presumption of truth. I mean, all of this flies in the face, as they well know, of, you know, the most elementary concepts of due process. So given this recent history and what happened in 1991, I'm not optimistic if the hearing goes forward that we're not going to see more of the circus-like atmosphere that pervaded the hearings a couple of weeks ago.
Well, some have pointed out that this assumption of innocence until proven guilty and all of the due process stuff is you know, it's in the courts, obviously, but this is not necessarily a judicial proceeding. It's a confirmation, and they make a subtle distinction there. Do you buy into that?
And I certainly agree that all of the rules and presumptions that apply in a court of law don't apply fully. But still, the concept that an accuser should go before the accused has the right to defend himself or herself against the accusations, that's one that goes well beyond. I mean, that's an elementary concept of justice in this country, and it goes well beyond what, you know, needs to be compelled in a court setting. You know, I shouldn't think that you know, we would have a United States senator like our own Senator Gillibrand, who's a graduate of the UCLA Law School, who says something like, "I believe Dr. Ford because she's telling the truth." I mean, before I've heard any testimony, and after all, the Senate is going to act in a way as an adjudicative body. At least each member of the Senate is going to make his or her decision based upon the testimony. Well, why have the testimony if you've made a decision in advance as to what your verdict is going to be?
If you're just tuning in, we're talking to a pre-law advisor at Canisius College, a colleague of mine there, Bob Klump. We're talking about the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation hearings and the accusations by Christine Blasey Ford. Let me ask you, Bob, early in the week we were talking about the request or the demand from the Ford camp for an FBI investigation, and the senators on the Republican side basically said, no way, we're going to go ahead with this. Do you think that they made a mistake there? I mean, an FBI investigation probably wouldn't take more than a week, and it would actually get someone questioning all of these other witnesses, you know, that were supposedly at the party, and it might have cleared up a few things.
I would agree with that, particularly in view of the delay that's now.
We could have done the FBI, you know, this week, the FBI investigation this week.
Yeah, now it also needs to be understood, of course, that as Senator Grassley said in responding to the demands for an FBI investigation, the FBI is not going to make a credibility assessment of information it receives. And this idea that somehow the FBI is going to be the neutral fact finder that in essence is going to say the committee, which is what I think some who are demanding the FBI investigation are claiming, that, you know, the FBI is going to make a determination or at least a recommendation as to who's telling the truth. That's not going to happen.
Well, at least at least you could interview the other witnesses, the other people that were supposedly at this party, and get them on the record. I mean, it's different answering a question from an FBI agent than it would be answering some reporter calls them up, because, you know, there's no penalty for lying to someone from the news media.
Wait a minute, though. All of the other individuals who are allegedly at the scene of the crime, so to speak, have, I believe, signed statements which are signed under, in essence, penalty of perjury under federal law, that they're telling the truth. Having said that, I think there would have been a value in going the extra mile and allowing the FBI to reopen the background.
Yeah, I saw that the fact that the other people supposedly at the party had signed these statements. I saw that this morning in the news report, and that includes one of her, apparently one of Christine Blasey Ford's lifelong friends. I mean, you could see, I think it's Mark Judge, the friend of Judge Kavanaugh, you could see, you know, a case for him maybe not being entirely truthful about this, but a friend of Ford, you would think, would be. Having said that, however, the lawyer for Christine Blasey Ford came back and said that, yeah, you know, I mean, that was so many years ago, she probably wouldn't remember it, but Christine Blasey Ford remembers it because of, you know, what happened to her at that time. And it's one of these things, you know, you just, you know, how do you respond to that?
Well, I think I agree. It may well be impossible, really, for there to be any positive determination of the facts based on this hearing, given the 36-year remove of time in the matter and the vagaries as to Dr. Ford's accusations. But you can try, and I would agree that having the FBI investigate the witnesses beyond the flat statements that they've apparently made in their statements would be of some value.
Yeah. Listen, we have to take a quick break, but Bob, you're going to hold over, correct? You're not going to hang up on us, right? You're going to be there. Bob will be back, and listen, we'll do this until the bottom of the hour. If you have a question for Bob or for me on the Kavanaugh situation, if you want to weigh in on this, please give us a call, 803-0930, the number to call, 803-0930. I'm Kevin Hardwick. You're listening to Hardline on News Radio 930. And welcome back to Hardline. Kevin Hardwick here. Bottom of the hour, we'll be joined live in studio by Don Postles of Channel 4, and he'll stay over for the next hour, beginning at 11 o'clock, 11 till noon, when we have Nate McMurray, New York 27, Congressional District, Democratic candidate, in to talk about his campaign and ads on TV and all of that. Actually, let me be honest with you. Don Postles was so excited to be here this morning, getting back to his radio roots, and they're very thin roots because he's done more TV than radio. But he's actually in studio. He may weigh in on this, but we have still carrying over on the phone, Bob Klump. Bob is a colleague of mine at Canisius College. He's the pre-law advisor. Bob, thank you for holding over. Let me ask you this, Bob. if regardless of what happens here, I assume that my assumption is that this thing will go off on Thursday, and it'll be much like the Clarence Thomas Anita Hill thing. It'll come down to he said, she said. There'll be no corroborating witnesses on either side. If that's the case, the confirmation goes through. But does that hurt Republicans long term, and does that hurt the Senate long term?
Well, I think it probably hurts both the Republicans and the Senate as an institution long term, because just as we saw in 1991, you know, initially after Hill and Thomas testified, public polling showed that the public agreed that, sided with Thomas and that he had effectively rebutted and denied her charges. But over time, you know, with the procession of books and articles and interviews and the like in the media, that perception began to change more in the direction of believing Anita Hill. I believe here that the long-term damage may be that because of the inability of anybody to precisely determine what the truth of the accusations is, that even assuming that Kavanaugh is confirmed, that's by no means certain at this point. It may depend upon, you know, the vote of Senator Flake or one or two other Senate Republicans, that long-term there's still going to be this taint attached to in some respect. And the same is certainly true of the Senate.
If for whatever reason Kavanaugh goes down, don't you see President Trump coming right back with a new nominee, perhaps a woman? Of course, we did talk. I mean, we did have a woman on the short list prior to the Kavanaugh appointment, did we not? In fact, some of our students at Canisius took some courses from her.
Amy Comey Barrett at Notre Dame Law School. She would, of course, be insulated against these sorts of charges, presumably. However, keep in mind that one of the dings against her, so to speak, during the time that Trump was picking his nominee, was that she is strongly identified as being anti-abortion or at least pro-life, and that might cripple her chances with a couple of the more moderate female members of the Senate, namely Senators Collins and Murkowski. On the other hand, there were two other individuals on the short list, one of whom, Raymond Kethledge from Michigan, would have been my candidate. And these individuals have already been vetted and subject, presumably, to FBI background checks. I would think Trump would immediately move forward to nominate one of the other individuals who was on his short list.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Bob Klump. Bob is the pre-law advisor at Canisius College, a colleague of mine there. Hey, Bob, let's go to the phones. We've got David from Lockport. David, thank you for calling. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, and Barrett was already labeled with the attack they'd use on her. Feinstein, you know, like a Star Wars movie, told her that the dogma was strong with her. Remember?
Yeah,
that's right. The dogma lives loudly within you, or something like that. Right.
The strong, yes, yeah. And hey, I was enjoying your conversation until you got to the FBI part. You know, the Democrats are already—they're always playing like three-level Spock chess, and the Republicans play checkers at best. This FBI thing, you guys, you were talking about the basic, I don't know the word, the basics of our judicial system about the accuser talks first, and then the accused gets to answer. But we also have things like, terms where they can go after you for, you know, that Hillary's enjoying right now, that 7 years expire on her crimes. You can't go after somebody for 37 years. It's ridiculous.
No, David, that was not the idea. The idea was we're trying to find out what happened. We had these other witnesses that were at the party.
Yep.
And, we don't know who knew what. And rather than just have the media go and ask Mark Judge, Judge Kavanaugh's friend, hey, did this happen or not? And, you know, him not being under oath, you lie to an FBI agent, you got to at least, you know, you got to tell the truth or you're in trouble. So, the idea was that, you would get the FBI involved. And at least they would do a little fact finding for you. There was no idea that you would go back 37 years and charge someone for something.
First of all, the FBI, of course, doesn't have any jurisdiction over state crimes, which is what this crime would be. And under Maryland law, by the way, there appears to be no statute of limitations Maryland authorities could reopen or open an investigation of this. But more to the point, the FBI, as Kevin, you were indicating, the FBI's background checks are intended to provide information about all facets of a nominee, and they're not for the purpose or the principal purpose of a criminal investigation.
I mean, the FBI was already doing some background investigation. Yes, they do it as a matter of course.
In fact, Kavanaugh has been subjected, if I recall correctly, to 6 background checks during his career as he's gone from position to position in the White House and with the federal courts.
Yeah, I mean, occasionally you and I will do interviews with federal agents who will come and they'll be doing a background check on someone who has applied for a job with Customs or whatever, right?
Yes. Yep.
So same sort of thing. Well, listen, Bob, we are almost out of time for this half hour. I do want to thank you again for taking part of your Sunday morning, and I'm sure I'll see you around the college.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin.
All right. That was Bob Klump. Bob is the pre-law advisor at Canisius College, a colleague of mine there. In a few minutes, we'll have Don Postles live in studio talking about, well, we'll see what we talk about. In the meantime, I have just about 30 seconds before the break. I just want to make sure that Joe Beamer is okay. His Virginia Tech Hokies lost to Old Dominion yesterday. We okay, Joe?
Yeah, we're going to be okay. ACC play right. Starts next week. Let's just do what we did in 2010 and win the ACC.
All right, very good. And he is a little bit down today, so if you hear any depressing music for the bumps, like I'm thinking maybe Elton John's Funeral for a Friend or something like that, you'll know why that is. Anyway, we have to take a break. Alan Harris is standing by with the news. I'm Kevin Hardwick. You're listening to Hardline on News Radio 930 WBEN. And welcome back to Hardline. That's Joe Beamer with the upbeat music. What is that, Joe?
Gloria Estefan. Turn the beat around.
Estefan. There you go. Joe trying to overcome his loss of his Virginia Tech Hokies with music therapy this morning. Listen, great treat. Don Postal sitting next to me in the studio, Channel 4 anchor. In fact, I think you have the trifecta, right? You were principal anchor for all local stations, 2, 4, and 7?
Correct.
That's like a record, right? No one else has done it.
Not yet, but it'll happen.
It'll happen.
Look at the career. Rick and Tom. Carol Jason and Van Miller over at 4. I mean, I worked with all the legends.
Yeah, you do. And you work and you're grooming the future legends, right? Over there at
We've
Channel
got
4
some
now.
Good ones in the pipeline.
You do have some excellent ones.
Yes, we do.
And in fact, you recently stole Erica Brecker from Channel 2. I don't know how they let her get away.
She's fantastic.
She really is.
Great writer. Great on-air presentation and a fantastic person.
You know, it's funny you should say great writer because I remember, I mean, I've been away from the program for a while now, but about 10 years ago when you were on this show, you stressed the importance of writing.
I mean,
that's big
do.
With you. Great,
yes.
Great writing.
Yes.
Do you think that the writing of people you see come through Channel 4 that you see in other media, has deteriorated over the years in this internet world and texting and all of that?
I can't believe you're asking me this. I mean, you're bringing a tear to my eye. It's so bad. I'm not appreciated in the newsroom like I used to be because they're not a stickler for grammar, punctuation, and what have you. And I found out recently that one of our new hires didn't know what a preposition is.
Oh, my God.
And that bothered me tremendously. The bar has been lowered. But there are some old hawks like me and Jackie that we try to keep everything on the up and up. And as long as the facts are right, we can handle the writing.
So you're teaching remedial writing over there.
Oh, yeah. My journalistic days are coming to an end. I'm going to become a professor of English.
Well,
English grammar.
Yeah, well, perhaps you always were. Before I get too far, how's the family doing?
Fantastic.
Now, as I recall, you had a daughter who was in London or something.
Correct.
Now, what is she up to?
Well, she's the mother of two boys and a little girl, Harper, who turned 9 months today. And she lives in London, a beautiful home with two of the best grandsons I could ever ask for. And she comes and spends 6 weeks with us in the summer.
What does the son-in-law do there?
He's with Liberty Media, which is a cable company in all of Europe.
Wow.
Great job.
Now, I have to confess, I did do a little bit of research for this interview. And I Googled Don Postles, and I saw an article in the New York Times from back in 2009, and it was the engagement announcement of that daughter, and it had a story that had you, I think, crying or laughing or something. I mean, you know, that you, he was asking you for permission to do you want to tell the story?
Well,
because the New York, if people want to go to the New York Times, they'll see it. But it was their engagement. It was pretty half about you and your reaction. I thought it was marvelous.
Well, he came to Buffalo, and my daughter was home, and we were out on the back deck, had a barbecue dinner, and then after dinner, he said he wanted to talk to me, and I said, yeah, I thought he was going to ask me about television, cable, something like that, and he asked for my daughter's hand. And I said, you want to marry my daughter? And I said, welcome to the family. And I went inside, and I called my wife, Ann, and Larkin. And I said, get out here. We're all going to celebrate and hug and kisses. And he goes, no. She doesn't know I'm asking you for her hand. I go, oh, well, she knows now. And that's how it went. But I always told my daughter that I was your father yesterday, I'm your father today, and I will be your father tomorrow, and I'm a dad. Whatever you need, I'll help you get through it.
So does that mean there's like an annual trip to Europe for
yes,
the
Polkis
family? Is there really?
You ever spent Christmas in London?
I have not.
It's a treat.
I'll bet it is, especially with grandchildren.
Yep, and they were so great this Christmas morning. They came upstairs to wake us up and saying they can't go down to see what Santa left them until we get up, which I really appreciate it.
I asked you earlier about the importance of writing and especially in this new age with the internet and everything like that. But the internet has impacted everything that your industry is about. I mean, it's practically decimated the print media. I mean, we see that in the Buffalo News.
So sad, isn't it?
I mean, you're a competitor with the Buffalo News, obviously, because you're in the same general business.
Well, you know what I look at is we complement each other.
Yeah, but it's got to make you wonder. It's got to make you feel sad when you see what happened over there.
Well, the Buffalo News had a fantastic team of writers and reporters, and I've held all of them in high esteem. And to me, just going through Sunday morning's paper today, you know, in 15 minutes, you're like, is this it? And how many local stories there are? Samantha did a wonderful job about the pushes on for seasonal hire, and finding workers is tougher and tougher, which I like hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I want to see people get employed, have good paying jobs, security, financial stability. I want to see that. It's wonderful. And then I turn to the business page, and I see a lot of great things happening. And then the interesting thing was on the editorial page about a new convention center. Well, I can remember when the debate was on for the current convention center, which at the time there were some people who didn't even want Buffalo to have a convention center. And the day it opened, it was too small.
Yeah.
You know, because it was so controversial at the time. And now conventions are a huge tourist attraction and an economic stimulus for the local economy.
Yeah, I think in the not too distant future we'll be doing an hour or so on this show about the convention center, because that just came out the other day. Back to the internet though. I hear a lot of people, a lot of broadcast journalists, both radio and TV, talk about the emphasis now on getting web content out there. that's had to be at least foreign to someone like you, who grew up in the age of Cronkite and the importance of the anchor and everything. It was all about 6:30 at night for the national news, 6 o'clock for the local news. And now you have, you have 5:30 news, you have 5 o'clock news, you even have 4 o'clock news
o'clock,
over there.
6:30.
And 6:30 news while the national news is over there. I mean, it's like a 24-hour operation.
Well, I'm waiting for that to come next, but you're absolutely right. I'm bad on Twitter, although I did tweet about you.
You did. I saw you. You were fumbling around with the cell phone when you were in here.
Exactly. And I'm still fumbling around. I don't even know if it went through, but I tried. And then, the internet posting things on WIVB.com is a challenge for me. I make no bones about it. I am a television news broadcast journalist, and I've always thought that what happens at 5, 6, and 11 is the newscast of record for the day. Take great pride of being part of that. Love working with Jackie Walker. We both are always digging for stories. Sometimes we call on you and Len Lenahan to get us through primary night, which you did a fantastic
job.
Thank
you
for saying
that. What is the business model now for a TV station like yours for TV news? I mean, how does the internet play into that? You still derive most of your revenue from those ads, those 30-second ads.
Well, don't ever let anyone tell you that we've lost our mojo in terms of making money. We haven't. I don't know who you've talked to. You're picking my inner brain today, but the old expression now for us dinosaurs, you got to be younger, dumber, and cheaper. And sometimes you wonder how low are they going to
go? Let me younger, dumber, cheaper. Okay.
Well,
yeah.
Look at it.
Yeah. Listen, we have to. This is a treat for me. Don Postal's anchor from Channel 4 is here. We're chatting with him. We'll be talking to him till the top of the hour. We have to take a quick break. After that, Don will stay over, and we will interview Nate McMurray, Democratic candidate for New York's 27th Congressional District. A lot going on, obviously, in his world these days. If in the next few minutes after the break you want to talk to Don, you have a question for him about his business or whatever, give us a call, 803-0930. I'm Kevin Hardwick. You're listening to Hardline on News Radio 930 WBEN. Yes, more of Joe Beamer's music therapy, recovering from yesterday's Virginia Tech loss. Sitting here with Don Postles, Kevin Hardwick, sitting here with Don Postles. Nate McMurray is in the house. He brought cookies for Joe Beamer. Joe seems happy. This, again, is helping him overcome that loss. Don Postles, Channel 4 News, is here with me. And Don, you're in agreement with one of our texters who said a preposition is a word that shouldn't be used to end a sentence with, right?
Well, I must have done that, but, you know, as I said to you, so the way we talk and the way we write are two different things.
Listen, we asked for people who had questions for Don at 803-0930, and Larry from Cheektowaga has one. Larry, welcome to the program. Thank you for holding.
Yes, it's an honor and privilege to talk to Mr. Postles. What I'd like to know is when you get up in the morning and you put the news on, whether it's 2, 4, or 7 or anything, they'll show the Buffalo police when something happens, basically, and they'll say the yellow tape is around the crime scene.
Yeah.
And that the photographer's seen two people get put in an ambulance.
Right.
We're waiting for the Buffalo police to reply. Why doesn't the Buffalo police tell the people right away what's going on, that you have to wait for them to reply to your questions?
What a great question. In the halcyon days, the Buffalo police officers on the scene were fantastic. They still are. They would tell you what is going on. And then Anita came down, which I believe they said came from the police commissioner, Dorenda. I believe it came from the mayor's office, where we had to go through Mike DeGeorge, who used to be the sports guy over at Channel 2 years ago. And he's great, but he often doesn't get back as soon as we would like. And if you're on the scene of a crime and an officer is there, there's no reason why that officer should not be able to say something as long as it doesn't jeopardize the investigation. I always enjoyed being out on the street with these cops. They are so hardworking, on top of stuff. I remember being on the east side where a guy was slashed in his throat, blood coming out, and a cop came up to me and says, "Get over on Goodyear Street." And I go, "Why?" He goes, "Just get there." And there was T.C. Smith, the lieutenant from Buffalo Police, and there was a 15-year-old boy on a drug deal that went bad, an AK-47 assault rifle, riddled his body. And I said, "T.C., I can't tell. Look at this. I mean, I have a son this age." And he says, "Me too." And he says, "He's dead." "Why? How did this happen?" And we talked about it. I got a great interview. Today, I'd have to wait 8 to 10 hours for someone to get back to me. And that person has to go talk to the person I was on the scene with to find out what happened, then regurgitate it to me.
Yeah, but doesn't it put people in jeopardy when you can't get the word out that, let's say, there's a shooter in a neighborhood someplace, or, you know, something like that, or a slasher or something? Doesn't it put people in jeopardy that are home or going to work in the morning, or kids going to school?
No, and I'll tell you why. That rule is violated if there's an emergency scene going on, and even the neighbors will tell us what's going on. And if the public is in danger, trust me, everyone in the newsroom at Channel 4 would have that story on the air.
Larry, great questions. Thank you for listening, and thank you for that question. That was Larry in Cheektowaga. If you, we might squeeze in another question if you have one. 803-0930, the number to call. Listen, Don, before we go to the news and before you and I talk to Nate McMurray, let me ask you a little bit about politics. I hope that not to get too political, but you know the talk this day about the fake news and the news being the enemy of the state. I mean, do you rail against that? Does that upset you, or can you see how that's happened with cable news and the 24-hour news cycle, and maybe some people, you know, going from a different book than you have subscribed to over the years?
Well, you know, we are encouraged to post stuff on WIVB.com, tweet stuff, and I've been the victim of getting caught by fake news. We received an email, and I read it, and there was a picture, and I took a picture of the picture, the post on Twitter, and my our executive producer came up to me within seconds, said, delete it, delete it. I go, why? It's fake news. It's a phony email. And I took it as gospel. So I said, whoa, I have got to make sure whatever I post is true and accurate.
And that becomes more difficult as time goes on?
Well, you're suspect. Every time, you don't take everything at face value like you used to in the old days. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the days, mentioned your relationship with the Buffalo News and you being in the same business, and you said you weren't so much competitors as you complimented one another. But you do have competitors this day that you didn't used to have when I was growing up, when you were growing up. And that's other cable channels, not news channels. You know, when I was growing up, TV was to me what, you know, smartphones are now to my kids. It's the technology you had to be around. You wanted to be around TV. And if you wanted to bask in the glow of that tube, you had to watch whatever was on. And then when there were only, you know, 2, 4, and 7, every day at 6 o'clock, you were going to watch the local news. Every day at 6:30, you were going to watch the national news. For me, it was Uncle Walter, the most trusted man in America. Those days are long gone. I mean, your competitors may not be so much the other news stations in town, channels 2 and 7, as it may be, you know, the Home Garden Network or whatever.
Yeah, there are those who want you to believe that. But look at the reach. How many people are they hitting? And if you look what Channel 4 viewers have at 5, 6, and 11, and at 10 o'clock on CW23. Very proud of our audience because I think we're putting on a sensational product with information people want to know.
But it's not what it would have been 30 or 40 years ago these other stations.
You're talking at a time when there wasn't cable.
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
like you said, 2, 4, and 7. And in Buffalo, we got a couple stations out of Toronto. Remember those days?
Yeah. The ancient times when you and I grew up.
Yeah.
And, you know, you did have someone like Uncle Walter, who was the most trusted
man
in America.
You're talking to a guy that my father would come home from work, and we had to sit down for a half hour with Uncle Walter, and no one could say a word until Dad was done watching
the evening. Does that explain at all why you got into the business?
I think it does.
He was one of your heroes?
Well, I met him several times.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, and I was very disappointed the first time I met him because my wife started talking about sailing out of Milford, Connecticut Yacht Club, and Cronkite loves to sail and lit up like a Christmas tree, and I wanted to talk to him about broadcast journalism.
And you didn't get in a word edgewise. Yeah, after he left, he did several specials. Some of them I can remember him sailing on his sailboat and the like.
Well, and May 2nd, 1972, I was in the CBS Evening News studio in New York City and watched him do the evening news.
Wow.
And say, that's the way it is. And I just had chills going down my body.
I'll bet. Well, listen, a lot of people still get chills, like our caller got chills. You know, an honor to talk to you. I'm excited talking to you. We're going to bring, after the break, we're going to bring Nate McMurray in here, and hopefully at the end of it, he'll be happy to have talked to you. Who knows? We'll find out. We'll find out. But anyway, have to go to news now. When we come back, Nate McMurray, congressional candidate, live in studio. I'm Kevin Hardwick. You're listening to Hardline on News Radio 930 WBEN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.